Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto your word, Heavenly Father, so that we can learn more each and every time that we come together on how to walk and to walk in your kingdom and according to your will and your way and not ours. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we're asking this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. As I was telling Dennis here, I'll share with the rest of you about what's going on with my wife and I. The doctors wanted to put her in rehab, where she had been inactive so long that all of her joints had gotten stiff and all, and for her to move them is really an awful lot of pain. The doctor said that she needed rehab. So they was trying to get that set up for her. But her insurance said that she had reached her base and that rehab wouldn't do her any good. They know more than the hospital and the doctors know, so they think. So they wouldn't pay for it. The doctor contested that, and they still refused. So Doc told me, he said, well, the only thing we can do, he said, you'd have to pay private for it. So I had to leave the hospital this morning and go to Brandenburg, down Medco, and I paid for a month. $7,285. For a month. But do know one thing. I saw her today one of the therapists at the hospital working with her legs and all. When they first started massaging her legs and everything, she was crying out from the pain, but after just a few short moments of massaging the leg and then beginning to move it, that pain quietened down. So it was working. But her insurance company knows more than the doctors and the hospital. So I went to Alex Stone's office. So we are going to sue her insurance company. You're not going to let them get away with it. You've got no business. In fact, really, the reason she has that insurance should never have been allowed to start with, because that is state insurance. She worked 30 years for the school board and retired. And that is their insurance company, Humana. But Humana goes through Medicare. Yet we have to pay for two different things. We have to pay for the Humana insurance, and we have to pay for the Medicare. But if Medicare pays $20 on something, Humana won't pay nothing. If Humana pays $20 on something, Medicare won't. So we're not getting the benefit out of both of them to begin with. We never have. But now they're not wanting to do anything. And really, it's because of our age. And I know that. And basically, about everybody else does. They just assume we'd die. But the thing of it is, they don't care how bad you hurt while you are dying. Well, I just so happen I've got an attorney that does care. And he told me today, we're gonna put him in court. See if what we can't get straightened out. And they probably ain't going to like it by the time the court gets done with them. Because not only do I want my money back I had to pay out today for that, they're going to have to give my money back and then pay it. Plus, they'll ever find out that the state shouldn't even have that insurance. So they're probably going to end up losing that also. But I'm tired of just sitting back and letting people do anything they want to do just because they think they can. So we're going to find out just how far they can go and how far they can't. But they're supposed to move her. They said either this evening or in the morning. I look for it to be in the morning because if they were going to move her this evening, they was to call me. And so far, they hadn't done it. So I told them I'd be there in the morning by 9 o'clock. I look for them to move her along about sometime after 9, the nurse said probably would be. And we'll get her down there and get her started on some of her therapy and all. Get her home. But she was more alert today. And all. Was talking more. She was eating a little bit now, where she hadn't been eating. And she's just drinking her liquids and all. That she hadn't been doing. So she's doing quite a bit better and different than she was when we put her in there. All right. We're going to be dealing here this evening with the Gospel of John chapter 4. So, you know, the more we study the Word of Almighty God, the more we learn and the more we see how we don't see much new under the sun, do we? Most everything that's going on today has always happened before. Rumors. People spreading tales on you. Telling things on you that ain't so. Well, they were doing it back in Jesus' day. On him. And that's the way we start out here this evening in chapter 4. Rumor they had put out on him. Here in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Nowhere in the scripture does the scripture tell us that Jesus baptized more people than John had. Because the only ones Jesus ever baptized was his disciples. And John spent days of baptizing. But this was a rumor that was put out on the Lord Jesus Christ. That he had baptized more than John had. Here in verse 2, he goes on. Though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. Being told right there in the second verse. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. But you know, Jesus took just a little different route than what most Jews traveled in that day and time. And he did so for a reason. Most of your Jewish men didn't travel that route because that took them through the Samaritans. And they had nothing to do with the Samaritans. And the reason they didn't have anything to do with Samaritans is because the Samaritans had intermarried with the Gentile nations. The Jews would have nothing to do with them. The Jewish man was not even allowed to enter into a Samaritan man's home, let alone talk to him. That's like today. We got a group out here today that if you meet one of their women on the street and speak to her, she will not speak to you. She'll not talk to you. Because she's not allowed to. She's not allowed to speak to a man. Think about that. That's in our culture today. And that's your Amish ladies. Now, those that came off the Amish that started living by the New Testament, the Mennonites, now those ladies will. They'll talk to you. But your Amish women won't, because they're not allowed to. Now, verse 5, he says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. This is right. Jesus was taken. He was going through there. Being worried with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now here, we all know that Jesus was born as a Jew. And a Jewish man was not to speak to Samaritan, let alone Samaritan woman. But he asked her for a drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. She's wondering why he's asking her. What are you doing talking to me? You're a Jew. Because right then she didn't know who he was. He's just a Jew to her. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He's about to let her know who he is without actually just coming right out and saying so at that very moment. And the woman, she can't understand this show yet. Here in verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You ain't got nothing to draw in this well deep. Now, how are you going to give me living water? Are thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Now Jesus is going to get a little serious. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's going to get thirsty again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, he's talking to her about the Holy Spirit. That's the living water he's talking about, is the Holy Spirit. Now, he's got her interested. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's thinking that he's got some way of giving her water to where she ain't going to have to come draw and carry no more water. Won't never thirst again. You see, Jesus is really just getting started with her. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Sounds like a simple request, didn't it? But you see, the Lord God knows everything about us. That's reason we're told in his word over and over and over. There's nothing we do that's hid from God. Nothing. He knows it all. We won't get most of it even done until he knows we've done it, because he knows when we thought of it. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. He let her know, he knows she's telling him the truth when she said she didn't have one. But why didn't she have one? Now he's going to tell her why she ain't got one. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saith thou truly. She's been married five times, and now she's with another one that's not even her husband now. She's not even married to. But Jesus knew it. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now she's thinking he's a prophet because he told her about her former life, things that she had done that she thought was kept secret from everybody. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus, here in 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Think about that. 22. You worship, you know, not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. We all know that we can have salvation today, but it came to you and I through the Jewish nation and the Jewish disciples. It was given to you and I by the Jews. They're the ones who wrote this scripture. Now, but the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's letting her know now how you and I today are to worship. We worship in spirit and in truth. Because now we are under the church age. We have been covered by his blood. The one that is talking to her has covered us. It's through him that you and I worship today. But he goes on telling her and you and I something here yet that should make things even stronger to us. But most today are not looking to it at all. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way we can worship him. Is in the spirit and in truth. But in order to worship him in the spirit, you've got to have the spirit. You've got to have his spirit within you. Because you see, that's also why we're told in his word to walk in the spirit. We walk with the Lord Jesus Christ living within us. And we are to live in him. We walk with the Holy Spirit living in us. And we are to live in him. We walk with the Father living in us. And we are to live in him. Because you see, those three are one. We don't think about a lot of things today that we need to be thinking about. And that's why our churches has gotten in such sad shape today. Because they don't really understand. When we go to talking about worshiping in the Spirit and in truth, we go to talking about the Holy Spirit. A lot of them has never heard anything about the Holy Spirit. And go to church every time the church doors open and still really know nothing about the Holy Spirit. They'll hear a little bit about Jesus. But a lot of churches out there teach us nothing about the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because a lot of them believe that all passed away. When the disciples all died, that was all gone. Well, it wasn't. It was just beginning. Now, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She's telling me. Now, she's heard that there is a Jewish Messiah coming. This woman is a Samaritan woman. But she has heard people talk and know that they are looking for a Messiah, looking for one that's called Christ. And she says, when he has come, he will tell us all things. Now, when he gets here, he's going to tell me all things. But Jesus has got news for her, just like he's got news for people today if they'll open their ears and listen. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am he. He has now let her know who he is. Now at this time, and it says here in 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? They're not understand why he's talking to her, because he's a Jew. And Jews don't have nothing to do with Samaritans, let alone the Samaritan women. But they're not questioning here about it. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men. Now she's going to task. She's going to spread some good news. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This man, he told me all things that I've done before. He let me know he knew I had five husbands. And the one I'm with right now ain't mine. Ain't this man the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Well, now he's getting ready to kind of lower the boom on them. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now they're going to do some questioning because they're not understanding either. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? But Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And you and I today need to be about the work that God has for each of us to do. And we need to be doing it wholeheartedly and completing that work. so that he can come. We need to be looking for his coming instead of wishing, well, Lord, you've got to wait. You've got to wait. No, we need to be looking for it and doing everything we can to hasten his coming. Because if you are a born-again child of God, then you've got nothing to fear. You've got everything to want to see him. So that you can spend eternity with him. This life is nothing but a blink of an eye. I don't care how many years he gives you here on this earth. It's just a blink of an eye when you run that up beside eternity. Never ending. Even his millennial reign that you'll spend with him. 1,000 years. Well, you take like me, I'm 88 right now. But if he was to come tomorrow and set up his millennial reign, I'd be starting 1,000 years worth of life yet here on this earth. Think about it. But yet we want to sit back, do very little, and say, well, somebody else will do it. But that's not necessarily so. And he may not have even asked somebody else to do it. Because, you see, when he accepts us, each of us, he makes that plan for our lives at that time. He has it all planned out. And he's got everything that we need. We may not see it right then, but it's all there. You may have to wait on it a while to see it come about. But it will. It will happen. But it will happen in his time and the way he has it laid out, because we don't know who else he's got involved in it. Take back 6-7 months back. I didn't know he had Dennis involved in my life, my ministry. Dennis didn't know it either. Neither one of us knew it until he put me here. And then he brought Dennis in. And oh yeah, James, he put you in my life a long time ago. Back about 20-some years? 20-some years ago, he led you into my life. In another little burg, little place. Another little church. Wasn't as big as this one. We never know. But we are to look to him. Now, here in 35, he just got through telling him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. This was back when Jesus was walking on the earth and the fields were already ripe for harvest. What do we think they are out there now? All these years later, they're really ripe for harvest. But we need the workers in the field to bring that harvest in. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You see, the wages that we are to look for is not that monetary stuff. It's what he's got waiting for us when we step out of this life and into the next. And then we can all rejoice together. 37, and herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. And you know, I can come along and sow God's word, just like I'm doing right here, right now. I can sow God's word. But then I've got Dennis and I've got Kenny, that the two of them can come along behind me and they can water that word by doing what God has led them to do, which will make the harvest even riper. And there'll be more together in. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Now this is what he's telling his disciples. He said, I sent you out to reap where no one had been laboring. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Others have been laboring now, and you can enter into their labors. Work with them, help them. And that's what we all must be about, helping each other in order to bring in the harvest that God is looking for from all of us. 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. She going through the town telling everybody. And now, because of that, there's many that's believing on him from that one woman, that according to the Jewish people of that day and time, he shouldn't even been talking to. So when the Samaritans were come to get unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Now they've come to him, now they won't even stay with him. So he's staying there with them for 2 days. This was unusual in that day and time. So a lot of things that we do today, just a minute, got a cop pulled in. Going back here. Wasn't too sure there to start with. Evidently, she's got her cruiser now. All right. And many more believed because of his own word. Now they're believing him because of his own word. They've had a witness, one testified the things he had done and told her. And now they are believing him because of his own words. 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And you know, another sad thing in studying God's word, his own, the Jewish people, yet today, for the most part, and for our country, a nation, we're not accepting him. Now, yes, they are, some that are. We know that. But for the most part, Israel has still not accepted him as the Messiah, as their Savior. They are still living by the law. But this is why we need to be praying so hard for them. He hasn't given up on them. And he's let us know that. And he let us really know it when you really get into the book of Revelation. And what has been prophesied there that's in store and all for them. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. That's why we find it so hard in our own families, Dennis. When we accept the call of God into the ministry, you find the first ones to reject you are your own families and your own friends. They get to where they don't want you around no more because you're in their way. You don't do the things they want to do anymore. And we all face it. I got children right now. They'll have parties and things. Dad ain't invited. We don't want him here because we're going to drink. And we're going to curse. We're going to do things he ain't going to approve of. So we ain't going to invite him. I may find out 3 or 4 days after it happened that they had it. My own brothers and sisters, when I accepted the call to the ministry, wanted absolutely nothing to do with me. My own mother and dad didn't want to talk to me because I wasn't preaching a Baptist doctrine. But you know something? I wouldn't give in. I wouldn't quit and go their way. Few years down the road, I ordained my dad into a full gospel church as a deacon. And my brothers and sisters got to the point to where if they wanted advice, I was the one they come to. Because I would not turn loose. I would not quit. I stayed true to what God had showed me in His Word. And continued to grow. Now, so Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where He made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And we see a lot of that going on today. They're looking for signs and wonders. Are they just not going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. He didn't have to even go with him. All he had to do was speak the word. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Don't worry about him. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. That's what we need more of today. More believing this word of Almighty God. And standing strong upon it. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. He didn't even get all the way home. And his servants met him. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. But look what happens with the Father. So the Father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. His whole house was saved over that few words. Go thy way, your son liveth. And now there's a whole family saved because of it. That's what we need today going on out here around about us. And standing and believing in God's word. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. And we're going to end right there. That's the end of chapter 4 of John. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place to come and a time that we can come together to study your word, to support each other, and to be of support to our communities in which we live. Help us, Father, to walk stronger, to walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can see more done, Father, done according to your word, according to your will and your way. Now, Father, the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, help us to bring this land to repentance, to repent of the evil that our government has brought upon our people and the things that they've done away with that they should not have done away with. Help us to remove those from office, Father, and to replace them with ones that will work for you, that will hold with the church, and that will help us to turn the evil things away and to bring this land to repent so it can be healed and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch those names and bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether that be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's friend Sue, Sue's family of Texas, Amy's husband Tom, Tom's friend Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma. For Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Father, use this young man in a mighty and great way among the young people there in Texas. For Terry Coates, Father, touch him with thy healing hand. Make him whole, Father. Put him to work in the harvest field. Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, bring these brothers together, and when they come together, Father, that they be of one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus. The Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Randy Johnson Church of God of Brandenburg, Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. These churches, Father, make them lighthouses, the community in which they stand. Keep them along the pathway of righteousness. These pastors, Father, fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit so that they can deliver your word with power, with strength, and with the light of Jesus, to also work to be bringing in the harvest. For this young pastor, Will, Father, this young man that's been ordained into the ministry, my prayer for Will is that he, his teacher has been, Father, the Holy Spirit. And that he is the pastor you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little Full Gospel Church of God at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For Pastor Haroon Islam, for Pastor Barak Mishai, for Pastor Zephron Aaron, Father, these pastors, hold them close, keep them filled with the Holy Spirit, and continue to use them in great and mighty ways, and keep them safe, Father, there in the lands where they are walking, because we know they're walking in places that's, some of those places, if they're caught, will mean imprisonment and death. for the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, and for my family. For each family that will hear this message, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work with these families. Turn those that are walking, Father, in darkness. Turn them from that darkness to the light of Jesus. Help them to find salvation so that none be lost and that all will be able to make heaven their home. For Jimmy Emery, Baby Jalay, Sharon Momvillo, and Sharon's mother. For Sue, for Palance, for Henry Craycroft, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, these all need that healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them, Father, in mighty and great ways, healing them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Now, Father, this church is yours. Make it what you want it to be, Father. Help us to build it into your light. Now, Father, go with each of us as we all prepare to separate, to go our own different ways. Keep us in thy mighty hand of love. Keep us in health and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless. Now remember, God willing, we can all be back together again come Sunday morning, 11 a.m. So until then, hold on to God. He'll hold on to you. Have a great couple of days. Walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen.